May I have your attention, please?
Your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
This is Attention Please on KPTZ Port Townsend. I'm Larry Stein. Today we celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Port Townsend Film Festival, the 2024 edition. You've seen posters and flyers around town this week, I'm sure, and the Port Townsend Leader will doubtlessly have ample coverage of the festival in the Wednesday newspaper this week. As we have for the life of KPTZ, some 13-plus years now, we're giving you an inside look at this ambitious and widely admired festival, this year with Program Manager for the festival, Christy Spencer. I met with Christy about a week ago in the busy festival offices in the Baker Block building right on Taylor Street, Film Festival Central. This year, there's a palpable sense that things are really picking up back towards what the film festival had been in the more normal years for the film festival.
Normal. What is normal? Yeah.
This film festival could not be normal.
No, we don't want to be normal. Yeah. I resonate with that statement for sure. I think anybody who lives and works in Port Townsend, we looked around sort of the kickoff of the summer season in Port Townsend and went, wow, there's a lot of people here. And the RVs coming in and out of town. So I think that's a spot on statement that the festival feels that has this palpable feeling that we're back. Past sales have been super wonderful. And it's interesting to think about, is this a brand new trend that we're going to see replicated in future years? Early past sales, early purchases. Or is it just an anomaly year and we did really good at our marketing game? Time will tell. Time will tell.
Let's talk about some things that are maybe new and different this year. What's new and maybe surprising? And
I think one of the exciting things, not brand spanking new, but newish, is our forum. So we began this idea of, would filmmakers and film lovers like to attend workshops that are a little more education or information oriented? So we started that in the spring of 2023, I believe, at Women in Film. And it caught on, wasn't super well attended, but people liked it. So we did it last fall again, and again, it was a little better attended, and we got great feedback about it. People really enjoyed themselves. So this year, we've really leaned into this forum. So it has grown to the point that we need two venues for all of the offerings. The offerings include panel presentations, workshops, information presentations, just offering some insight into how things work. It's exciting to see this catching on and being able to really have deeper conversations and deeper connections, both from the presenter's perspective as well as the attendees that'll be in the audience.
One thing I can notice over the years of the development of the film festival, those panels used to be just interesting conversations about things. And now the panels are getting more and more how do you get your feet in the door? How do you prepare a project correctly? Or what's the best way to do that? It's a lot more how-to.
Yes, I am excited about the panels. Back from always a popular time is the Sunday morning storyteller panel. So Jane Julian, our primary documentary programmer, has pulled together some panelists that will talk about any multitude of things. She's still in discussions with them about primary focus, but really it's about bringing a good story in the process of your filmmaking, your life as a filmmaker. Could be anything goes, but share a good story. It's almost always that at least one tear is shed in the course of it, not in a sad way, but in a real moving way. And then the two other panels that we've put together, one is the making of Glampire. So I'm sure we'll talk more about that through our conversation.
Yes,
but their stories abound in the making of this film. Seeing it from script to screen, it has been a really fun process to be a part of. Really quickly, I'll add the third and final in those formed panels is a women in film panel I will moderate on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that because now we don't have a women in film smaller festival in a different time of the year. Women in film is rolled into this festival.
It sure is. You know, we had this isolated festival or spotlight festival, depending on how you look at it. And really the thought was the table is big enough for everybody. So let's invite women in film into our fall festival and create a very purposeful track. So we talk about who the women are that are the female filmmakers in our lineup this year, as well as who has impacted, how they've been impacted. And we have a special filmmaker meetup just for women in film, and then, of course, this panel as well.
Special guests, that's always an important part of the festival, and things are moving along, and they're getting a little more visibility now. And we have a very, very notable special guest this year.
In my opinion, there's two. Two really special guests.
But one is more well-known than the other.
So, yes, Catherine Hardwick is a filmmaker, director, producer. I believe there's some writing in that cred as well. But Catherine Hardwick, two of her favorite films for me personally, one was Lords of Dogtown, a 70s skateboarding flick set in the 70s, not filmed in the 70s. And then the other one, 13, and I'm really, really excited that we are going to show that Saturday night, and Catherine will Q&A after the film for that. Probably most notable, though, Catherine is known for directing the very first Twilight film. So if anybody's a Twilight fan, come and meet Catherine.
But Twilight's not going to be on the bill here.
Twilight is not on the bill, right. No. And then our other special guest, Louis Schwartzberg. Very excited to meet and hear what Louis has to say. He is the genius behind the time-lapse photography in Fantastic Fungi, a 2019 film that we're going to bring back in its fifth anniversary year and show outdoor on Saturday night on Taylor Street.
That was such a great choice. I mean, that's a true cult film for Port Townsend. That film had to stay at the Rose for a very, very long time. The demand was there.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just beautiful. I can't wait to see it on the big blow-up screen on Taylor Street under the stars. It's going to be gorgeous.
So let's talk about the outdoor films.
Certainly.
The first night is one that's very close to my personal experience and heart, which is American Graffiti.
Yeah, I do want to point out that last year we heard feedback. You know, our survey respondents, people that would walk up to the staff on the streets and said, why are all the films this year children's films? So we did a send up to Roald Dahl writings with our films last year, and we thought they were a little more like adult throwback to childhood, but feedback was it was all child related. So this year we heard that, took it to heart.
I have to say, for me, it was honestly the first time I really sat down and watched Willy Wonka all the way through.
Good for you.
And now I understand why people love it so much.
It's charming. Gene Wilder, man. Yeah. So, yeah, in 2024, American Graffiti is Friday night, which is a really good topper on the filmmaker parade that happens earlier in the day on Friday. So that's a nice tie-in to see those antique cars in person and then watch Richard Dreyfuss and Ron Howard and his friends on the screen under the stars.
And Harrison Ford as a hot rod driver who was not known at the time.
Oh, and I think that a lot of people maybe haven't ever seen that movie. So I think it's one of those films that deserves another turnaround. So really excited to bring that back.
One, two, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock.
Hey, Lauren, what in the hell are you doing in there? Is she gonna ride with you?
Mind your own business, John.
Yeah, she's going with me. You take care of yourself, man. You guys ready?
Mentioned Fantastic Fungi Saturday night, and Louis will be on the stage with Danielle preceding the film to do a Q&A after the film. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday night, for the Gen Xers like myself that come to the festival, we are going to show the Muppet movie.
You've hit all the buttons here of things
That's right.
People love.
Entertainment galore.
Mushrooms, Muppets, and 60s.
There you go. Mushrooms, Muppets, and 60s.
Great, great. Well, that's always real great fun.
Oh, oh, look at this place. What a dump.
Bunch of weirdos around here. Look at them.
Yes, I know you all. What
hey, ladies, is this seat taken?
Bring that back!
I'm so nervous. If I'm not funny, I won't be able to live with myself.
Well, then you'll have to get another apartment, won't you?
You know, I hear this movie is dynamite.
Get your fresh organic popcorn. Only a buck.
Oh, sure, Mama, nothing's too good for my woman.
Woman! Woman! Woman!
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the first screening of the Muppet movie. But before we begin, I'd like to thank everyone who contributed to this film, starting with the little people from the hairdressers to special
effects. Let's talk about some of the standout feature films that are on the bill this festival.
Yeah, I think this would be a really great place to also talk about our partnership with Well Organized and Black Lives Matter of Jefferson County.
Yeah, I've noticed that on several films.
Absolutely. So we're having another track in addition to the Women in Film track is what we're calling the PGM track, or People of the Global Majority. And so we have brought in some presenters that are better able to have the conversations through their own lived experiences that are featured in some of the films that we have. And so three of those films that these deeper conversations will be have are A Binding Truth. That's one of them. It's a feature documentary. Another one is Fish War, which happens to be our opening night film, as well as another screening on Sunday. And then Farming While Black is the third. All three of those are documentary films that feature heavily with people of the global majority. And so these conversations that are going to be had may tie into some of the themes that audiences will see in these films, but also can just be a standalone piece in discussing people of the global majority in filmmaking. So where are those voices at? How can we get more of them to feature in the films in Port Townsend Film Festival and their experiences as a whole? It's going to be a really, really informative time.
And when I look at the listing, there's always, every year, of course, it's an environmental issues and nature features are a focus of so many films here. And some of them really stuck out. I think one that looks like a real crowd pleaser is 399, Queen of the Tetons. I haven't seen it yet, but
I have seen most of it. I haven't seen it 100% through, yeah. But it's really charming to see the footage. And basically, the tourists that visit the Teton National Park, they're obsessed with this bear known only as 399. So to watch her romping around, teaching her cubs, and the photographers that are on the streets filming as they're running across the landscape, I mean, it's a beautiful film in addition to telling the story
that is cute at first, but then there's a lot of other
yes.
stuff about the interaction between us and wild animals like that has to be taken very seriously.
Absolutely. And every species of animal, not just the grizzly. Yeah.
Local celebrity bear 399 emerged this week. Grizzly 399 and her four cubs were spotted at Grand Teton National Park.
She's coming, she's coming.
That's why you don't get out. Very good.
She's become an ambassador for grizzly bears.
The trap, three of the cubs.
She charged right at me, bit me in the back. I was resigned. I just thought that was it.
She's going through neighborhoods.
That's $3.99.
These bears are getting pushed into more human conflicts because their natural food sources are being hit hard by climate change. And there's more and more people encroaching on these wild spaces. And that is not the bear's fault.
You're listening to Attention Please on KPTZ. We're speaking with Christy Spencer, program manager of this year's Port Townsend Film Festival. Another film that just looked like a real interesting one I want to see is Call Me Dancer.
Yes, Call Me Dancer. So I think that this is going to be a really good block for those that really love the body movement and dancing as a whole, but not necessarily. I mean, yes, he is a goes on to become a ballet dancer, but it's also that passion for the arts being that deeper story. So he has a chance encounter and meets a man who happens to be this renowned ballet instructor.
But let's refer to who he is.
Yes.
Because he's not coming from a traditional background for a ballet dancer.
Well, no, the main protagonist is not. He's actually a hip-hop dancer in Mumbai. So, yeah, it's incredible that this young man becomes this ballet dancer through the training of this chance encounter and finds this passion for a whole new world that he didn't even know existed, for sure.
I want to dance. I really want to dance, and I'm doing everything for it. That's when I met Yehuda.
No, what you don't understand, what I'm screaming over and
you make
over.
Everyone cry.
You're not working.
I trained them physically very hard.
Up and feet, feet, feet.
He said, I saw something in you. I really want him to get a professional job. I'm going to really work hard. Not just hard, smartly hard.
Let's talk a little bit about Fish Wars, because I know that is very much set in the part of the world that we are in, and it has to do with a lot of the people who are in our community.
Yes. So for those that don't know, I 100% invite you to go to ptfilm.org, get on the schedule, and find Fish War and watch this trailer. It's the trailer alone is pretty powerful, but the story of Fish War celebrates the Bolt decision. So many, many, many decades ago, the fishing rights were given back to the local indigenous people. And this is the story of how they are upholding that right, continuing regularly to fight for that right, to keep it, and all of the ways that they are challenged in the last five decades.
Fishing is our way of life.
That's our way of going to church and connecting with our spirituality.
And we've always been taught, you know, when the tide is out, the table is set.
We're not a conquered people. We ceded this territory for just a little bit of rights.
But 60 years ago, my father was still getting his head bashed in on the riverbank. He was getting his head bashed in Olympia.
Tribes' traditional practices became illegal under state law.
Our people fought for this.
All we wanted to do was be able to exercise our treaty right, to be able to fish and hunt in our usual and accustomed grounds.
Tell me about the shorts are grouped in thematic groups, and some of them are very, very compelling, and I'd like you to tell me about a couple of them, your favorites.
Absolutely. So the two documentary short collections are Characters with Character and Humankind. And it really, that absolutely says what they are. The former is filled with a bunch of characters. They could be funny characters, endearing characters, but they are definitely characters. And then the second is just, I don't know, we all have to ask ourselves, what kind of world do we want to live in? And I feel like the Humankind collection of Doc Shorts really helps us lean into what is the kind of world that we want to live in. And then the two narrative short programs, one of them is Need a Laugh, and the other is Spark of Hope. I knew it had something else to do with hope. And the Spark of Hope is exactly that. We all are looking for something to grasp onto in the dark. And I hope that this collection will be an inspiration to those who watch it. Need a Laugh is nothing more than sit back and be prepared for your face to hurt when you walk out of the screening.
I think you told me before we started that you are really happy and surprised that that is already in terms of signing up for screenings, and we're already a week and a half out from the festival when we're speaking. And that one is selling very rapidly.
It is selling. Both of the screenings are selling rapidly. So if you are listening and you find that you do need a laugh, don't pass go. Go straight to our website and find that and sign up. Can I mention one more shorts block that I forgot to mention?
Sure.
And it might be, to a lot of local folks to Port Townsend, it might be one of the more exciting. We have pulled together a collection of what we're calling local shorts. And these local shorts, we've identified what would be local to us. So it's basically Jefferson County, Clallam County, Kitsap, and Island County. And includes filmmakers and stories that are told within that region. So we have documentaries and narratives. So it's sort of a mishmash collection of shorts, many of them being short shorts, meaning they're under 5 minutes or under 7 minutes.
Yeah, I've seen a number that were 3 or 4 minutes.
Exactly. Some are animation, some are documentary and very activist-minded, some are just purely a fun romp through a few minutes of someone's story. So that collection is called Local Shorts, and it will feature the finished product of the short film that we were involved in, Glampire.
I wanted to talk about that. Now let's explain Glampire to people who don't know about it. Maybe you've heard about it a little bit, that there's a project going.
Absolutely.
And I heard about it first. It was something that came out of the screenplay competition.
It sure did. So part of our, as a staff and as an organization, our dedication to nurturing filmmakers, that is educating them, meeting them where they're at in their career, was to develop and offer a first time for this festival, a short screenplay competition. There were some limiting parameters on what you could submit. Had to be 5 pages, 5 characters, 5 locations, and be that same definition of local that we identified for the short films. And so we received, I believe it was 38 submissions. We thought maybe we'd get a dozen and have to try really hard to find one we loved. We had a director and a producer that live here in Port Townsend. Both of them are on faculty at Olympic College in the film program. And they both stepped up to be a part of the project. And then we had numerous individuals, students from Olympic College, as well as local folks involved in the production of this short film. It was shot primarily in June in the Hastings Building, kitty corner from us downtown. And it's a story of a 2,000-year-old vampire in Port Townsend who has a run-in with a young social media influencer who has some grand ideas on how she can make him over so he doesn't have to kill the residents of Port Townsend. And it really begs the question of who is the vampires of our society?
That's great. You've told the whole story right there. You're saying it's actually only a 5-minute film?
I haven't heard exactly what the runtime is, but I believe last we talked it was going to come in around 7 or 8 minutes.
So people are going to be able to see that at a session in which the filmmakers talk about it, or they're going to have a chance like other films to see a few times during the film?
It will screen in the local shorts block. So it'll be offered twice, once on Saturday, once on Sunday, and you'll see all of those local shorts and then end with Glampire.
I've been speaking to Christy Spencer, program manager of the Port Townsend Film Festival 2024. It's the 25th anniversary of this unique homegrown festival. It runs from September 19th through 22nd in person in downtown Port Townsend. The hospitality center for the festival is at Northwind Art on Water Street. Films and events are at various venues, from the Rose Theaters and Taylor Street to the Cotton and Pope Marine buildings to the American Legion and the Key City Playhouse. Go to ptfilm.org for access to the whole schedule of the festival, descriptions of all the films, and a portal to obtain passes and make reservations for screenings. This is Larry Stein for KPTZ Port Townsend. Thanks for being with us, and enjoy the festival.
Well, then you'll have to get another apartment, won't you?
You know, I hear this movie is dynamite.
Get your fresh organic popcorn. Only a buck.
Oh, sure, Mama, nothing's too good for my woman.
Woman! Woman! Woman!
Well, I like the movie fine so far.
It hasn't started yet.
That's what I like about it.
Oh, hi, Biggie.
Hey, I tried to save you a seat, but somebody took it.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the first screening of the Muppet movie. But before we begin, I'd like to thank everyone who contributed to this film, starting with the little people, from the hairdressers to special effects. That's enough of that, Harry. To the costume designers, to the prop makers.
Speeches are not necessary, dear. Roll the film.
Yeah, but I'd like to thank everybody for all of their hard work and their patience and their
roll. Roll film!
Roll film!
Roll film!
Roll film!
Uncle Kermit, is this about how the Muppets really got started?
Well, it's sort of approximately how it happened.